Good morning, Fairhaven. My name's Jeremy, one of the pastors here, and today we get to wrap up a series we've been in for the last number of weeks. The series we've titled is Why Church Matters. Kind of asking the question, we started asking the question, like, okay, does the church matter today? We happen to believe so, but like, why does the church matter today? And what does it look like for us to live as the church? Those of us who have said yes to being a part of the church, what does it mean to actually live as a part of the church, to be part of the answer of why the church matters today? And so I want to name right off the bat, you should have, when you walked in, received a partnership commitment card. I just want to name this because for a few of us, I just want to call out that some of us are in this space this morning, and you actually call a different faith community home. You might be here because one of your family or friends was baptized this morning, and so you're here to celebrate with them. And so you got this, and you looked at it and went, okay, what am I supposed to do with that? Well, I'd like to invite you, don't just dismiss the commitments that we have on this card. Pay attention to them as what it could actually mean for you in whatever faith community you might call home. Like, it might be really weird, but even like hand it to your pastor next week and be like, I get it's weird, but like, this is our faith home, and we want to let you know that we're committed to what God is doing here at the church. For some of you, you're here and you're newer. You're still checking out church. You're still checking out the ways of Jesus, and you're saying, I don't know that I'm ready to say yes yet. Like, I'm still exploring. I'm still trying to pay attention. Absolutely yes. Don't feel any pressure to fill this out, to hand this in. Take it. Read over it, pray over it. If you ever get to the point where you're able to say yes, where you want to say yes, we would love for you to fill it out and give it to us anytime. But for those of us who have said yes to Jesus, we've said yes to being a part of the church, what we want to do is we've been working through over the last few weeks kind of the commitments on this card, and it's our hope that we, if you've said yes to Jesus, if you've said yes to the church, that this might be a tool for us as we explore within ourselves, okay, what does it mean for me to say yes to the church? And so we've been working through our commitments. We're on commitment number 4 today. So the commitments, first off, if you want to turn with us, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, we'll be in John chapter 13 this morning. We will put all the words on the screen, but if you want to follow along, John chapter 13, and you're going to have to stick your thumb there because we'll get there. It's just going to take a couple minutes. And so starting, looking at those partnership commitments on the card that we've worked through the last few weeks, commitment number 1, that I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead to be my Savior and profess my commitment to his lordship over my life. Commitment 2, a commitment to take next steps to become more like Jesus and to help others do the same. 3, I commit to participate in this community of belonging as we together seek to be centered on Jesus. 4, I commit to partner in God's mission to help people find their way back to God by being generous with my time, my talents, and my treasures. You can kind of see there's kind of a movement to the commitments. 1, saying yes to Jesus, saying yes to making, to God, saying yes, and then asking the question, okay, so is it just you say yes and then you're done, like game over, cross the finish line, great, or is there more, is there something more? And so we say yes, but then there's the invitation to take next steps, to continue to grow in this life of faith. Okay, great. But can I do that by myself, right? Do I need anybody else? And no, we're actually better together. It's a commitment to community. And then today, that commitment of mission, asking the question, what does it mean to live on mission? What does mission mean? And what does it mean for us to say yes to a commitment to live on mission? Because when I grew up, in a little Christian Reformed church southwest of here in this giant city of Overijssel. And when I thought of, we have a stop sign, right? Like, it's moving up. But when I grew up thinking about, like, mission in my mindset was always something that, like, those people do over there, right? Those people do that over there. Every once in a while, they would come to our church and they would talk about the stuff that they do over there. But primarily, mission was for them over there. And I want to name first off that, like, there are some great, incredible people doing some amazing things over there, wherever there is. And we need more people to go do that over there. But then the question was always, okay, but what does that mean for us? Like, is mission just something we support because we do? But what does it mean to say yes to mission with our lives? What does that look like? Essentially, one of the questions becomes, what is the church for? Right? Is the church for just those who gather inside it? Is the church for just the people in the walls of the church on a Sunday morning? Is that what the church is for? Or is the church bigger? What is the church for, something greater than just that? And as we explore that, I want to ask some questions around another word, a popular common word. You know the word, we use it all the time. But I want to ask some questions about this word, the word Christian. I want to ask the question, how would you define this word? What does it mean to be a Christian? How would you answer that? It's a word some of us, we've used this word to talk about who we are, like how we identify as ourselves for years. But what does it mean? What does it mean to be a Christian? Because for some of us, if I ask the question, like, are you a Christian? You'd say, yes. Some of you would say, I don't know that I could say that yet. Others, though, if I ask, are you a Christian, you might go, well, yes, but, right? Or like, yes, but I'm not like those Christians, right? Because apparently we use the term as though there's like these Christians and those Christians. And then the question, like, what makes these and those like those? And like, are there's good Christians, there's bad Christians? What does it mean? And then if I were to ask the question, okay, how do you become a Christian? Is it a prayer that you pray? Is it a question you say yes to? Is it a class? Is it like you graduate the class? Is it something that you memorize? Is it a catechism? Is it a question and answer? How do you become one? And then the question, like, okay, can you, what about the person who says, well, I was a Christian, but I'm not anymore. And then the moment they say that, you know, like this Thanksgiving on Thursday, like Uncle Carl sitting at the table, like, oh, you can't do that. Like, once a Christian, you're always a Christian. And then this giant debate breaks out when, like, all you really want to do is eat turkey and watch the Lions go 9-2, right? Got you. So, what does it mean to become a Christian? What does it mean? And I get it. For some of you, you're like, okay, I didn't see this conversation going this way this morning, right? And like this word that I've used forever, now I'm scratching my head going, okay, what does it mean? What's the definition? And for some of us, that, especially those of us that might have grown up in the church, we go, okay, the way we get our answers, we should look to the Bible to figure out what does the Bible say a Christian is? And what we find there is it gets even a little more difficult. Because this word, how many times do you think the word Christian shows up in your Bible? Any guesses? Any guesses? Three times. Three times the word Christian shows up in the Bible. Three times. There's something in common to all three that I want to look at together just a little bit. But it shows up three times. There's something in common. Let's start with one of them, Acts chapter 11. So Saul's going to be named in this passage. Saul is the guy who had given his life to opposing the church. He was one of the early persecutors of the church. He was behind the first martyr, the first person who lost their life because of their faith. Saul would have an encounter with Jesus. His life would be transformed. He would become the guy we know as Paul. But then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. First time this word Christian is used is in Antioch, this Greco-Roman province, who views these people and says, those people are what we're going to call Christians. And what we find is all three times the word Christian is used, it's never by somebody who calls themselves one. It's always by somebody else who is using it to describe those people. So it's here, these followers of Jesus were first called Christians in Antioch. We see it in another spot where Peter, one of the disciples, Peter says that he was being persecuted because he carried this name of Christian. The third time is Paul is being tried, and the person who Paul's being tried before says, hold on, you're not trying to make me a Christian, are you? So all three times, it's used by somebody other to identify who these people are. So if the disciples, if these followers of Jesus don't call themselves Christians, if that word shows up three times in the New Testament, what do they call themselves? Because they must call themselves something, right? And as we ask the question, what might it mean to live as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, knowing how they, what they called themselves might help, right? So what did the first followers of Jesus call themselves? Well, this word isn't going to show up just three times. It shows up 261 times through the New Testament. This, if there's any word, this is the word, and the word, disciple, right? They call themselves disciples, and I think it's helpful because the word disciple is a little easier. It's a little cleaner because disciple, actually, if you translate it, the word disciple, I mean, at its base, disciple just means student. And so a disciple is essentially a student of Jesus. As a disciple, it's, can we just name that, like, sometimes in our world today, Christian feels like it's this label that gets kind of thrown onto things, and then we have to try to figure out what that means. A disciple was somebody who said, I am giving my life to following the way of Jesus. As a student of Jesus, I'm giving my life to learn what Jesus knows, to learn what Jesus teaches, to following in the footsteps of Jesus, to actually giving my life to becoming more like the person I'm following. A disciple is giving all of themselves. Where your rabbi as a disciple, where your rabbi goes, you go. What your rabbi does, you do. What your rabbi thinks is what you're trying to think. You are giving all of yourself to try to become like the one you follow. And now, a quick aside, I get any time on a sermon like this, I get it might be really easy for somebody at this point to go, we shouldn't call ourselves Christians anymore, right? We should call ourselves disciples. And then you go out and tell somebody, like, oh, did you know that the Bible doesn't even call people, they call themselves disciples? We shouldn't call ourselves Christians. And then people start hearing that, and then the next thing you know, like, the pastor at Fairhaven is telling people not to call themselves Christians. Don't do that, right? Because the next thing that happens, the news shows up, you give them, Christian's a great word. Christian essentially means somebody who's living like Jesus, a little Jesus. There's nothing wrong with the word. We should continue to use the word. I just think it might aid us, it might help us to look a bit more at how these first followers of Jesus called themselves and what that meant for them. We even see it in that Acts 11 passage, you know, they were called Christians first at Antioch. Did you notice the first part? The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, right? Essentially, they're saying, like, that's when they started calling us Christians. And who is us? Well, we are disciples. It's not just a label we carry. It's a way of life that we've committed to. I'll show you a couple more. Acts chapter 6. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So it wasn't just a bunch of people said yes to Jesus, and then that was it. Like, it was, no, we actually, they became disciples. They gave themselves to becoming students of Jesus. The last one. This one, again, remember, Paul had given his life to persecuting the church. Paul has that encounter with Jesus. He's now going to a church to become a part of this faith community, but the people there aren't so sure yet. When Paul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. Those disciples, their concern wasn't like, okay, has Paul become a Christian? Like, did he say the prayer? Did he say the words? Did he answer the questions? Like, no, we want to know, did he actually become a disciple? Did he actually have this transformation where what Saul was, he is no longer, because his life is now on a new path? He is now a disciple of Jesus. Which then begs the question, what does a disciple look like? Because if we sang yes to Jesus, part of the way we might answer what does it mean to be a Christian is, okay, maybe it is like being a disciple. What does it look like to be a disciple? And how does that help us answer the question, like, who is the church for? What does it look like to say yes to mission? What does it look like for the church to be good news for everybody? And there's a story I want to look at. It's a teaching that Jesus gave that I think helps us answer both. What does a disciple look like? What does it look like to be a disciple? And how does that help us as we live on mission? It's in that chapter I had you turn to. Remember I told you it was going to take a little bit to get there? John chapter 13. Let's jump in. So Jesus is teaching here. He says, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. Now imagine being a disciple and hearing Jesus say this. Because as a disciple, what has been your commitment? I'm going to follow you everywhere. Right? Like, we looked a couple weeks ago, Jesus brought his disciples to some of the places they would have never imagined that he would bring them. He brought them. Okay, and they went because as a disciple, your intent is I will follow you anywhere because I want to be like you. And now Jesus says, okay, I'm going to go somewhere and you can't come. As a disciple, what are you thinking? No, that's not how it works. Like where you go, we go, we're in. Jesus, you can't go somewhere and we don't come with you. Like that's literally what we've given our lives to is following. But Jesus knew that he was going to have to do something they could not do, and he wanted to teach them something. He wanted to make sure they didn't miss something important. So he says this. He says, a new command I give you. A new command I give you. And if you're one of the disciples, I've got to imagine, like, I'm excited at this point. Right? I'm excited. Jesus is going to say something new. He's taught us a bunch of things. He said a lot of stuff. But now Jesus is going to give us something brand new. So if I'm one of the disciples, I imagine like I pull out my moleskin, right? Like I've got my ink pen, like this is going to matter. This is going to be important. So I'm ready to take notes. Jesus continues. Says, a new command I give you, love one another. At that point, like I'm still waiting for the new thing, right? Like, this isn't new. Jesus, you've told us this how many times? You basically said the most important thing is love God, love your neighbor. The rest is commentary. Like, you've told us to love. So, like, how is this new? And then Jesus gives us something to help qualify. What does love look like? He says this, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. I think what Jesus does here is really helpful. Because I think what Jesus knows is that we as humans, we have a tendency, I think, to want to define what it means to love somebody in ways that make it easy and comfortable for us, that don't stretch us or push us, right? We want to define what it means to love. Jesus says, love your neighbor. And we want to go, okay, but who's my neighbor? What does it mean to love them? Like, and we can find ourselves defining words like neighbor or love in ways that are easier or more comfortable. And Jesus says, no, I want to be really clear. What I'm calling you to do is to literally be my disciple, right? The way I have loved you as my disciples, you are to love one another. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, okay, do you remember what you all were doing? Like, Matthew, when I met you, do you remember what your life looked like? You were a tax collector. You're working with Rome. You were hated by your peers. And I walked up to you, and I invited you to step into something new. That in the midst of your failures, in the midst of your mistakes, in the midst of your not getting it, in the midst of your failures, I've continued to love you and to invite you to continue to take those next steps to keep becoming more like me. It's this self-sacrificial, putting the other in front of type of love. Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple, if you're my student, love one another the way I've loved you. And then Jesus says this. says, by this. So something important's coming. By this, the way you love one another, he says this. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. What does Jesus say? What does a disciple look like? Well, a disciple is someone who loves one another the way that Jesus first loved us. Jesus says it's this way. It's how we love one another that the world will see that we're disciples and that the world will come to know who God is. What does a disciple look like? It looks like this, that we might love one another. And then I love Peter. Peter is this guy. Peter's the guy who, like, it's almost like he's a verbal processor. And as a verbal processor myself, I appreciate Peter. Because often when I'm reading through the Gospels, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are times where it feels like Peter just, like, he just blurts something out. And you read it and go, okay, where did that come from? And it's easy to throw Peter under the bus until I look at myself so many times and, like, I'll blurt something out and go, okay, where did that come from, right? But Peter, verbal processing Peter, Jesus has just done this teaching on how do you show the world what it means to be a disciple? What does it mean to love? Peter responds by saying this. Simon Peter asks him, hold on, where are you going? Where? Because Peter's still hung up on that first piece, right? Like, where I'm going, you aren't going to be able to come. Jesus then gives this teaching on what it means to look like a disciple. And Peter goes, I'm still hung up on not being able to follow. Because Jesus, you know where you go, we go. What you do, we do. And so it's kind of an adventure of missing the point, but it's also really in line with the point, right? Because Peter wants to not just do what Jesus does, he wants to go. Peter, in this question, shows he is all in. He is all in. Peter wants to do nothing but follow the way of his rabbi by following the way of Jesus. And Jesus knows that what he's going to do, Peter can't do. Because Jesus knows that he's going to go to the cross, that Jesus is going to give his life, that Peter can't. What Jesus is going to do, Peter can't do. Where Jesus is going to go, Peter can't go. But what we find is Jesus' command to Peter, Jesus' command to the rest of the disciples isn't any easier, right? So you're going to stay here, and I want you to continue to live as my disciples, living the way I lived, doing the things I did, and in doing so, showing the world who I am, primarily in the way you love one another. It's in Jesus' command. It's also through the rest of the New Testament, because these disciples, they're going to go out and they're going to do it. That Jesus is going to die, he's going to rise, Jesus is going to ascend, and then the disciples are going to go out into the world. And these disciples are going to plant churches where they're going to raise up new disciples, new students of Jesus, following the way of Jesus, who are going to start new churches. And these early church planters wrote a number of letters to some of these early churches. And in these letters, we find a number of commands, kind of things that we call one another's, where they'll say, like, okay, do this with one another. Be like this towards one another. That 59 times in the New Testament, we read these commands of how to live with one another, how to be the church together. Let me give you some examples. Romans says, be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with one another. Build up one another. Be like-minded towards one another. Accept one another. 59 times we have one another's. 16 of them is this one right here. Love one another. That in all the one another's, almost a third of them is simply love one another. Why a third of the one another's? Why would it be this? Unless Jesus, of course, said it's by how well you do this that the world will come to see who you are and the world will see who I am if you love one another. It's how you live as my disciples, as my students, as my followers, that you will show the world who I am. It's part of why we labeled today like that partnership Sunday, kind of that commitment Sunday. It's why we've been working the last handful of weeks through those partnership commitments, because we believe in the church. Does the church matter? Absolutely, the church matters. The church has shaped society as we know. The church has shaped the world for the last 2,000 years. And we believe firmly that God isn't done with the church, and the church is us. And so what does it look like? What does it look like for us to continue to make our commitments to the church, to being that good news that God calls the church to be in the world where we exist right now? And so part of the reason why we have this, we gave out a partnership card at the beginning, is we believe in a world where the church is continuing to transform lives and neighborhoods and communities, where the church is still a force of good news in the world. Imagine a world. Imagine a community. Imagine a world where the church has so gotten this. The church has so said yes to being the hands and feet, to being that good news to Jesus, of that good news of Jesus in the world. Imagine a world where we have business owners who are saying, like, okay, I might not know what I necessarily think about Jesus yet. I don't know that I'm in, but I've seen those Christians. And I can tell you what, like, I don't know about Jesus yet, but I know that when I have to hire somebody, I want to hire a Christian because I've seen the way that they live, right? I've seen the way they're honest. I've seen the way they have character and integrity. Imagine a world where you have parents. You have parents who might themselves say, I don't know about Jesus, but I've seen those Christians, and I sure hope one dates my daughter, right? Because I know what kind of people they are. That a house goes for sale down the street, right? Imagine a world where the house goes for sale, and the people that live down the street go like, okay, I don't know who's going to buy it, but I really hope it's a Christian, because it's going to be good news to the entire neighborhood, because I've seen how they live. We believe that the church still has the power, the ability to go out into our world, wherever it is you live. That's where the church is present, right? If you say yes to Jesus, if you say yes to the church goes out into your neighborhood, into your communities, into your families. And so part of the reason for this commitment card is it's not so that it changes how we see you. Let me be really clear on that. If you do or do not fill out that commitment card, it changes nothing in the way we see you. But it might mean something to you to go through those commitments and ask yourself, what does it look like for me to continue to say yes to being a part of that community here? And for some of you, that might be the first time you ever make a commitment to the church. For some of you, you might be somebody who helped plant this church all those years ago. And that for me, I'm going to take my seat. I'm going to fill that card out again, because I want to go first in saying, yes, I've been a part of a church for a number of years, my entire life. And yet again today, I'm going to make the commitment to say, okay, what it means to say yes to Jesus, to say yes to the church, I'm all in. And so in just a few moments, our band's going to come up and they're going to play a song. And at the beginning of the song, I'd invite you, just take that card, read over those commitments, pray over those commitments. If you're somebody who calls this your faith home, we would love for you to fill that out as a way of saying, yes, I'm into being a part of what God is doing here through his church. If you're here and you're visiting in a different church's home, read through it and ask, what does it look like for you to make those commitments to whatever faith community you call home? And again, if you're not ready to make that commitment, hold on to it. Read over it, pray over it. We would love if you could, 2 weeks from now, 6 months from now, 5 years from now, you get to a spot where you say yes. We would love for you to give that anytime you're able. And we do know there are a number of people who actually join us online. That we had a couple reach out to us this week. Their name are Jack and Jerry. And Jack and Jerry, they've been part of this community for the last handful of years. And Jack and Jerry, they have to be a part of this community online. Jerry, she lives with cancer. She's been getting treatments for the cancer that she's living with. And so because of that, Jack and Jerry are actually joining us online because they can't be here. But over the last handful of weeks, Jack and Jerry, they've been paying attention. They've been participating online. And they called this week and asked, "Hey, we can't be there in person. But everything that you're talking about, what it means to be the church, what it means to make these commitments, like, we're all in. Can we be in even if we can't be there in person? Can we be in online?" And our answer to Jack and Jerry is absolutely, absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. That for Jack and Jerry, for the number of people who are participating in this community online, we do have a link that is in the live stream where they can fill out a digital connect form. But in just a moment, again, our band's going to come forward. We would love to invite you to read over that card, pray over that card, if you can say yes, to do so. And then at the end of the service, we have baskets, offering baskets by each of the doors that we can drop those cards in as we take off. But would you pray with me? God, we are grateful for the church, for the way you continue to live and work and be present in this, your world, that you have called us, your people, to partner with you in being the good news that you are in this world. So God, we pray that you would continue to move through your people, through the church, to bring that good news to all people everywhere, that we might love one another well, and that in the way we love one another, people might be able to see who we are, and more than that, that they might be able to see who you are. And we pray that you would continue to work through your church to bring your kingdom even more fully here. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.